Good to see you back up there, Steve. I think Jimmy Lockshaw would have joined in on that song because I believe that was one of his favorite songs. Go Tell It on the Mountains. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Lamentations chapter 3. Now, if you're not sure where Lamentations is, it's right after Jeremiah and before Ezekiel. Okay, if that gives you a clue, okay? And Jeremiah is the author of Lamentations. Lamentations only has five chapters, and the chapter we're in is a positive look of the first and second chapter and fourth and fifth chapter. And it falls right in the middle, which I think is really neat, how God orchestrated and laid upon Jeremiah's heart to write an encouraging positive outlook on the future in this particular chapter. So, as I was looking at this Sunday being the last Sunday of this year and looking into a new decade, new year coming up, we need to look on the positive side of everything. You know, we have a tendency to kind of look on the negative things, especially when we're talking about the things that's going on in the world itself. And it looks like gloom and doom. But when you look at God's perspective of life itself and how He created us and everything that we experience and He gives us to enjoy, it has to be positive because God called everything good that He created. So sometimes man gets sidetracked and alters the way that things should go as looking on the positive side. But if we keep our minds thinking God's way, then it will be positive outcome on our side and in the world itself. So follow along with me with Lamentations, and this afternoon you have time, you go to see what Paul says about it in Philippians chapter 4 verses 10 through 13. You know, putting behind those things that of course we can't change what's already happened, it's past, but we can make a difference and change what is coming up tomorrow and in the future. So looking with me in verse 21, and this is what Jeremiah says, and he's talking about the hope of relief in God's mercy. And in verse 21 he says, "This I recall to my mind." And so we often we recall things that happens as well in our mind. "Therefore, I have hope." There it is. See, he's looking on the positive side. Jeremiah was known as a weeping prophet, right? Because there's so much devastation in his time and the things that's going on within the nation and the sin of the people and so forth. But he says, "Therefore, I have hope." And then verse 22, "The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail." They are, you think about this, new every day. New every day. Think, when you get up in the morning and say, okay, here's a new day, everything's going to be new, and everything's going to be fresh, and that's what Jeremiah is saying. "Great is Your faithfulness." In verse 24, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in Him." And then verse 25, "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the person who seeks Him," seeks God. All right. As we focus and look at this passage of Scripture, I want to share this little story about Billy. Billy this is, today was his first day he was in the first grade, starting his first grade. And he was talking over breakfast with his mom and dad and so forth and trying to look positive into the future, even though he was like 6 years old. And he was saying, you know, after the first grade, I'll be in the second grade. Then after the second, I'll be in the third grade. Then he paused and a kind of a panic come over across his face. And in resignation, he says, I've got a long ways ahead of me, don't I? There's a lot in store there. So the year 2019 is ending. You think about that. And soon the first of 365 pieces of 2020 will be here. And all of them contain the unknown, the uncertainties, and so forth. And some of them hold joy, others will reveal pain. And my question is, how will you maneuver successfully through such a long, hidden year? How will I do that? Well, Jeremiah points out in today's passage that God will be faithful to everyone every step of the way. That's what Jeremiah is saying here this morning. Each day when you rise, God will already be taking care of you. He will already have your back. And that makes me smile, doesn't it? You? Makes me say, yes, God will take care of us. His grace, His strength, and love will be much a daily part of your life as breathing is. Breathing comes natural, doesn't it? So that'd be a much part of your life, His grace and His mercy and so forth. So whatever 2020 brings, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, will be right there with us to guide us and sustain us every step of the way. And I want to share three things this morning. And first of all, a desperate reality. You know, reality call. That's what Jeremiah is saying. So let us look at what Jeremiah latched onto when his world was falling apart. In verse 21, it is really a hinge, I think, on which this book is written. And Jeremiah's life turns, and he says, yet this I call to mind. I recall is what he is saying. And therefore I have hope. So unbelief causes us to look at our God through some troublesome circumstances, if we look at it that way, unbelief. But Jeremiah had belief. He knew. He says, I have hope. I've been surrounded with a lot of troubles and a lot of heartaches and a lot of grief. But now as I see it from God's perspective, I have hope. So, while Jeremiah's outward afflictions and inward turmoil pushed him towards despair, he forces himself to bring truth to the forefront of his mind. And that's what he's doing here. And I believe that's why God inspired, impressed upon Jeremiah to write chapter 3 the way he did and put it right between the two of verses of chapter 5, these five chapters. Now, and here's how it works. Here's how it works, I believe. If Jeremiah just focuses on those things that were filling his mind and the things and circumstances around him, he was going to be bummed out. How many of you have already have I have a meltdown. You have. We've all have. And then we got to refocus and think about, you know, what's going on here? Where is my focus? Who is it on? Is it on me, or is it on circumstances? Is it things of the world? And Jeremiah said we need to, you know, remember who's in charge. So in verses 19 and 20, Jeremiah says, remember my affliction and my wandering and wormwood and bitterness. And see, circumstances and things can make us bitter. It can cause a lot of stress in our lives. And that causes physical circumstances and situations in our life. And in verse 20, then Jeremiah says, surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. So, in order to break out of this pattern and cycle of despair, Jeremiah needed to be on guard about what he allowed himself to think about. So, that's what we need to do. What we need to think about. What would cause us to have despair. The pattern of cycle of despair. So, he needed to bring other things to mind. He needed to call them up in his memory. Think about those things. From his hard drive, when we think about computers, we put things and we save things in our hard drive, so we bring those back up to review or see. And that way he makes himself think about what is true in verse 21, which was, this I recall, I bring back in my mind, I think about that. And then he said, I know who's in charge. It's God. So what Jeremiah did was something we need to do as well every day. We need to keep our will, our purpose, and deliberately focus on the things other than our problems, the things of God. So force yourself, I say, to remember truth. See, the Bible is absolute truth. When we are inspired or don't understand or need wisdom and understanding, then we can remember that the Word of God is truth. And we can go to the Word of God and we can recall a verse. As you memorize Scripture, as you read the Word of God, some verses will stand out at the right time of need. That's why in Hebrews chapter 4 it says God extends mercy and grace in time of need. He will let a verse come up or rise in your mind or in your heart in time of need to give you comfort, to give you understanding, to give you a brighter outlook on life itself. So, remember a time when God demonstrated His grace and His mercy to you. As you sit here this morning, can you remember a day when God extended you mercy and grace? Every one of us can. I can. Some through the hardships or the pains and the physical things or emotional things and the spiritual things in life, I can always look back and I said, God extended mercy and grace to me right then. It could have been worse. It could have been your life. It could have been anything. But God extended you mercy and grace. And that's what Jeremiah is so focused on right here. His understanding. And when you see that word hesed or loving kindness, that's something that the Hebrew nation knew of God's loving kindness or His love. The Hebrew word for that is hesed, H-E-S-E-D. It meant something wonderful to the Hebrew nation because they knew God's love for them was everlasting. So, push God's faithfulness to the front of your mind, even when you don't feel like doing it. And when you don't feel like doing it, that's when we need it the most. When we don't feel like reading the Bible, That's when you need it the worst. When you don't feel like praying, that's when you need it the most. And Jeremiah is pointing that out here in our scripture this morning, and something for us to have a greater outlook in our life. Not only just because we're entering a new decade or a new year, it's what we need to look forward to each day of our life. So when you do, God will begin to restore hope to your life by crowding out the hopelessness that threatens to shipwreck our lives. He will do that. All right, let's look at the second thing that Jeremiah is talking about here, this a decision to relay. In verses 22 through 23, here, the mood of despair was shifted by a beautiful affirmation of hope by what Jeremiah calls to the forefront of his thoughts. Now Jeremiah did, he said, I call to my mind. Now I'm not dwelling on circumstances. I'm not dwelling on all the things of the nation and the despair of the people and everything. I'm trying to get them to look in the direction I'm looking. That's what Jeremiah is saying. What did he focus on while he was hurting? What did he lock onto when he was trapped by the rubble of his life? Verses 22 and 23 helps displace and despair with renewal. So one blessed recall by Jeremiah is found in verse 22, where it says, because of the Lord's faithfulness, love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. Wow. So if left alone, our sins would consume us without God's mercy. If it were not for his loving kindness or his great love, we would be consumed. And Jeremiah recognized that. And I don't think at this time Jeremiah was weeping, was he? I think he was rejoicing. He said, so much for tears and feeling sad or sorry for myself. I'm looking for the hope that I have in God. So we all walk closer to the edge than we think sometimes. We really do. And God loves us because he promised to love us, and nothing can cause him to break his promise. So as bad as we often think things are, if it wasn't for God's, his love, it could be much worse. So no matter how bad things are in your life right now, they would be much worse without God's and his love. So recall God's loving kindness towards you often as you move into 2020. Now looking at verse 23, the first part of that gives a word of hope which should cause each of us to latch on to a fresh love and compassion of God each morning. Jeremiah says they are new every morning. A fresh look, a fresh outlook. See, what if you woke up every morning and you found in your purse or your billfold it was full of money? What if that happened? Yeah, wrong billfold. What if your car was full of gas? What if your refrigerator was full of food? Wrong refrigerator. What if your youth and your vitality fully restored? No more aches, no more pains, no more wrinkles, no more bald heads, no more glasses and all that. Your youth was fully restored. It'd be a miracle, wouldn't it? And that's the way it is with God's compassion and mercy. That's the way it is. They are renewed to us every morning, and you can never use them up. You can't. God has a wonderful household of resources for us to draw from. And then in the last part of verse 23, it teaches us what is our hope for living, even in the midst of chaos and suffering. And he says in verse 23, great is thy faithfulness. How often do we sing that song? We do sing that song. Great is thy faithfulness. And that's what Jeremiah is saying right here. And I'm sure that's where that song came from. Someone read Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, and saw that great is thy faithfulness, and wrote the lyrics to that. You know, it's like the manna in the wilderness. God's supply can not be exhausted. We should be thankful to him that his supplies are not limited. So whatever hardships we go through, never doubt God's faithfulness. We are to recall and celebrate his gratefulness and faithfulness every day. Now, let's look at the declarations of reliability in verses 24 and 25. Here is what Jeremiah is saying in these final verses here. I do believe this is what he's saying. Lord, even though I see desolation all around me, even though I feel heaviness within me, even though I deserve to be consumed with and wiped out totally, you are faithful and merciful to me. That's how Jeremiah thought. That's what he's reflecting here in these verses. Jeremiah, therefore, can reflect not only upon the mercy of God, but upon the satisfaction he finds in God. And in verse 24, it says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. That's our hope. Every one of us, that's where our hope falls. And I hope and pray every day that you get up in the morning and you see a fresh new day. It doesn't matter if it's raining or snowing or sleeting or whatever it's doing. If we would have this same attitude as Jeremiah is saying here in verse 24, the Lord is my portion. He is my love. He is my everything. And you say it from your soul. You say it from your heart. Therefore, I have hope in him. It never fails. It never fails. And that's something that you and I, as we learn more about God in our life and live it out, it's demonstrated. And others see it. They too will have that same hope as we have as well. See, there's no greater hope than knowing that God is totally reliable. Totally. And when we really, truly believe it with all of our heart and soul and mind, that reality will be lived out in our life. See, God has been and always will be reliable. Those who truly trust God do not complain or despair, even when the things go wrong. And things will go wrong in 2020. But maybe because of the society in which we live and we know, we can make a difference. We can help change the direction of our future. See, our circumstances and change, and so do our feeling about them. And see, but God is always good, loving, compassionate, and faithful. And the Bible says he never changes. So we need to change. We need to alter the way that we think, the things that we do, and align our thinking in God's way, in his perspective. See, Jesus is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. If you didn't know it, that's in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So as we look at the final scripture here in verse 24 and 25 in our conclusion here this morning, I'm thinking, what an encouragement to live for God. What an encouragement. That is our hope. That is our future. And our strength for the present and hope for the future are not based on what I would call the stability of our own perseverance, but on God's faithfulness, our faithfulness to Him. No matter what our need is, we can count on God's faithfulness. Now, I want to leave you with this thought, something to remember. He who abandons himself to God will never be abandoned by God. And that's what Jeremiah is saying to each one of us here this morning. And I know that a lot of people makes a lot of New Year's resolution, right? I don't do that. I set goals in my life. How can I better live for you, Lord? How can I better serve you, Lord? Because if I make New Year's resolutions that I'm going to not eat as much or do this or do that, you break them, right? I'm going to get more exercise. I'm going to do this or do that. But if we will stick to God's plan, as Jeremiah is saying, being faithful, reading the Word of God more often, every day, and spending time with Him alone, our personal time, just like we have personal time with our families, with our friends, and things like that. We talk about things. We get inside one another's feelings and their life and emotions and compassions and things that we love and we like to do. If we will allow God to get inside our life and open up to Him and allow Him to show what we need to do differently than we have in the past, He will show us new insights and perspective on a better outlook for the future, no matter how the world views it or how the world tries to twist things. If we will keep that perspective as Jeremiah, and looking at verse 23, great is our faithfulness. If we will be faithful, God will be faithful to us. That's His promise. Let us pray. Our Father God, thank You this morning for Your scripture. Thank You this morning that no matter a year ends and we looking into a new year, Lord, You're still the same. We just need to change the way we think and our perspective. We can't go back and change anything behind us. Those things that already happened in our own lives and mistakes and the things that we didn't accomplish or get done. What's important, Lord, that we be on Your timetable, that we move forward with You. You will show us Your direction. Everything will work out according to Your way. If we think like Jeremiah here is in our scripture this morning. As we sit here in this sanctuary this morning, there's so many things that's probably going on within our mind. Things we bring in, unsettled, the uncertainties. But Lord, we can have peace with You. We can have that joy that comes through Jesus Christ, the salvation that You extend to each one of us. First of all, knowing that we have a personal relationship with You. That's where it all starts. And once we have established that, we know inside our heart that You live within, that You reign within our lives. It changes our perspective, our outlook, knowing that we can trust you with our life, with everything that we possess. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will search our hearts, examine our hearts this morning, and maybe set goals for you. That what we want to you accomplish through our lives, we can't do it without you. But if we'll look to you and believe in you and read your scriptures and claim a verse, claim a chapter, and just reflect upon it, our perspective and our outlook on the future will be much brighter. If there's anyone here today who doesn't know you personally as Lord and Savior, I pray that your Holy Spirit will make that clear. If there's anyone here this morning looking for a church home, we just pray that you make that clear as well. Lord, thank you for this time, this moment that we can reflect and we can turn our life over to you. Lord, thank you for the mercy and grace that you extend to each one of us. And thank you for allowing us to come to you and open up our heart. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Great is our faithfulness. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 330, or It's Only Trust in Him. Let us stand as we sing. I'll be here at the front to pray with you, talk with you. Whatever God is leading you to do, you can settle it right now as we sing. You come.